What a week it is. Hello, friends. Brent Gunning and Sam McKee. It's the Golf Guys with the Golf Show here. Plenty to talk about. Brooks Koepka's got a lead. There's going to be some hot tree talk. I'm sure McKee's going to tweak my gears over Rory McIlroy, and our bud, golf content beast, Adam Stanley, will join us a little later on in the show. But before I launch into a big spiel, I'll just say, how you doing today, Sammy McKee?
Doing well. Really enjoying the Masters this week so far, of course. How could you not? But I'm also, you know, got to talk some weather, got to talk, you know, maybe get an arborist on the line to talk about the two giant tree or three trees, however many trees that fell at Augusta National yesterday. It was an absolutely wild scene there. So lots to get into.
Yeah, we will. We'll save the tree talk for just a touch later. Let's talk about the guy leading the golf tournament. If you were to tell me a live guy was going to be in this position, I would have expected it would be Cam Smith, but I probably should have expected it would be Brooks Koepka, because my whole thing heading into this with the live guys was, will they have the muscle memory? Will there be any way that they're able to get back into competitive reps with playing on this lesser than tour? And guess what? Koepka didn't need the reps when he was playing on the PGA Tour. He said he took those tournaments not seriously. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's awesome to have Koepka back in the mix. Never mind the fact that he's atop the leaderboard. Where are you at on just him kind of shooting back to life, for lack of a better term?
I got a lot of thoughts on this, Gunner. I think, you know, it was really fascinating to get that candidness after the round yesterday about how he doesn't regret going to live. He wanted to make sure that he couched his comments with how he doesn't regret it, but like how, you know, if he was playing like this, he may not have gone, or there's some different things that he said in his press conference that were very fascinating yesterday. And I can't help but keep coming back to the Netflix Full Swing, which gave us such a great insight into these guys' psyche and inside their homes and all this stuff. You know, I don't think they could have got a guy at a more perfect time. Mm-hmm. He was not healthy. We talk about how much of a mental game golf is. Like, you hit a point with golf where I'm like, I'm never going to have another good round again in my life. Like, mm-hmm. I am done being good at golf for the rest of my life. And that sort of feeling is only, you know, times by 100 when you're at the professional level, right? Like, you feel completely like, I'm never going to be able to compete with this guy. As we talk about how much Scottie Scheffler was in his head, he's like, who won the Masters? I don't even know, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, right, buddy. So I really think that Brooks probably has some pretty, you know, some big regret now that he's healthy. Like, this looks like four-time major champion, unbeatable, stone-faced, fairways, green and regulation, hitting putts, Brooks Koepka that we saw. So I'm really impressed with what I've seen from him so far. I think it's such a fascinating wrinkle to have a live guy in the mix. It's just, it's an incredible weekend shaping up here.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how he comes out of the gates whenever he gets to hit a golf shot at some point in time today, because he's been sitting and thinking about this for a while. And again, he's not a guy who's uncomfortable in those positions, but it's been a while since he's been in the mix in one of these. The other thing that would be awesome if he was able to hang on and was the guy who comes through is he gives us another potential career Grand Slam guy, because then he would just need the Open Championship. You got Jordan sitting on the PGA, and then you got Rory, of course, sitting on the Masters. I'll have to wait another year for that, but it'd be awesome to just kind of have another guy in the race there for who can get to the who can kind of get there. With Koepka, I'm with you. I'm so happy to have him back in the mix. He's awesome. He's arrogant. He's cocky, and sometimes I love it. Sometimes it rubs me the wrong way, and that's like the whole point of sports, is to make you feel things, and Koepka's a guy who certainly does. The guy who's hot chasing him starts his day with a bird today. Really like to see that out of John Rahm. I mean, you know, this is kind of where what we were talking about setting up heading into the tournament, but the idea of Rahm, Brooks, there's so many guys at the peak of their powers right now. You weren't going to get a bad kind of final pairing or a showdown, but if it's Rahm and Koepka, we would have gladly signed up for that. And I'll let everybody get a little update here. Tiger Woods is making putts. He's grinding, trying to make par here. So listen, we have Tiger Watch in full effect.
We're literally doing our show during the Masters. Like, we are. I have a little screen going here, and I've got my favorite athlete of all time who's hobbling around a soaking wet Augusta National, dropping birdie putts, grinding to get inside the cut line. And if he can do it, he'll tie the record. And to me, it's very important that Tiger Woods has that record. That's a record that Tiger Woods should have. So I'm really, really interested to see in these next few holes where, you know, let's get inside that cut line, Tiger. You know, let's see it. So just a touch distracted, but I'm really impressed with what I've seen from Rom so far. And I think it'd be really, really hard to get into this without talking about this Bennett. I Sam Bennett, not of Florida Panthers and Calgary Flames fame. This amateur is, I wouldn't bet against him this weekend. After what I've seen, like, I wouldn't maybe bet on him, but I wouldn't necessarily bet against him. From what I've seen through the first, you know, two rounds, one bogey in two rounds at Augusta National, playing with the number one player in the world, like, besides Scottie Scheffler, like, it's unbelievable how good he looked. So it's a lot of fascinating storylines heading into the weekend.
Yeah, it really is. The Bennett kid is an awesome wrinkle into the mix. He had the line about how, yeah, I don't have a pretty golf swing like these guys, but it's called golf. It's not called golf swing, which I loved. He just looks super.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
That's a great
quote. He looks super country. He looks like he has a dip in all the time. I love it. Like, it's another just like new face in the mix, and who knows what it means. The fact that an Am's in here, if you ask me, is he going to keep himself in the fight or fall out of it? I think he's going to fall out of it, but I'd love to see him continue to have himself in the mix. He's got a great backstory. There's a really nice, I think it's Ryan LaVarner with Golf Channel, who did a great write-up on him. Check it out if you want to know more there. He's got like a cool tattoo on his arm with some connection to his dad. So really, really, really awesome story, and you'd love to see him hold in it, but we've seen this movie before at the Masters of an Am who has a couple of days and then sleeps on it. But I think
not like that.
An Am's never had a run like this. And you know what? I do wonder if some of the wet conditions, it just turns into more of a grind fest. I don't know. Maybe a guy like that can kind of hang on. So I'd love to see it. I don't expect to, though. Yeah. So if you're asking me what's going to happen there, you know, just other guys up at the top. Morikawa, he wore the shirt he said he would never wear in full swing in the first round of the tournament.
Hilarious. And everyone was chirping him for cheating, which he explained on Twitter. And to me, it was necessary. The explanation was necessary. And it was a good explanation, and we can all move along. But to me, it was a sketchy, whatever the hell he did, it looked like a guy at your playing at your local club who's looking for an extra inch on his putt. Like,
yeah.
It was a little bit greasy looking, so I'm glad he explained it, and he did it, and all good on that end. But yeah, for him to come out wearing the shirt that he made fun of the Adidas guys for posting to him is pretty great. Like, that guy won. The guy who, ever he was, like, you know, being rude to at the Adidas
Bill in sales.
Headquarters. Yeah, Bill in sales, when he's watching the Masters, he's like, I got him. I got that beautiful pattern, and he's wearing it. So, I win. Bill, big win for Bill in sales.
That was immediately the first thing I thought of with Morikawa there. I'm happy he did come out and say the thing about the ball marking, and we have a buddy we play a lot of our rounds with who's caddied in, like, you know, some actual real events like U.S. Open qualifiers, those types of things. And he's always telling us of, like, you can't just put the marker down. You have to have a pointer. And I'm like, I'm just going to put this marker down. But I can only imagine what was going through his head watching all that. If we're going to talk controversy, are we good with what happened with Koepka and Gary Woodland in round one, or we're just going to move on?
So he asked him what he was hitting.
He said
five.
So what has happened is the if you're doing the John Boy lip reading, Koepka's caddy shouts five at Woodland and his caddy's direction. That's what it looks like. Now, the joke I saw going around, which I did love, is this is just how many majors his man is going to have by the time the weekend's done. He's just shouting five after every shot, which I liked. But
that's very good.
You know, this is the ultimate. This is a game of honor. You know, there's four guys that are involved in this. There were the caddies and the players, and they all said nothing happened, and we have to take their word for it, and apparently Augusta did, that's that, and moving on.
Are Gary and Koepka buds?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure they're friendly-ish.
It feels like they look like they could be buds.
They seem both pretty aggro. Love to slap around some weights in the gym.
Yeah, those boys like get a little chalk under their fingernails, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Get a couple dumbbells popping.
They're looking like LeBron with the chalk toss in the weight room, and everyone else is like, I'm trying to do my crunches over here. Yeah, I could see them being buds. I don't know that that's canon, but I could easily see it being the case.
Yeah, so that's what you love about golf, I guess, what you love and hate. Like, there's no ref out there. I guess, like, if you need to call a rules official to get a ruling or whatever, you can do it. But, like, there's no ref out there, so you have
to. We all know how that goes. They just go, I'm so sorry to do this to you, sir. We have to look into this.
Yeah, they're like, oh, sprinkler head, you can put your ball on the green.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So, I don't, like, it's kind of a weird one, right? Like, you know, I really didn't even know that that was against the rules. But, like, I, as a, you know, just a weekend Joe hacker who goes out and I play a round with, like, when I play with my buddy Keegan, we hit our clubs the exact same distance all the time. I'll be like, what are you hitting here, four? What are you hitting here, nine iron? Pitching wedge? And he's like, yeah, I'm hitting pitch. And it's like, I didn't even know that was against the rules. So, you know, maybe next time I play in a tournament, which, you know, I don't know when that's going to be, I won't ask. Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't think I'll be asking for a number.
No, you shouldn't be doing that against the rules. And yeah, just, hey, we got to take their word for it. So a couple other things before we get to your entree today, which is Rory missing the cut.
Okay, go ahead.
The best shot I've seen all week. It's, hey, I'm giving love to a live guy. You can't get too mad at me here. Cam Smith hit the most unreal shot I've seen in my life is too strong a term, but recency bias rules. So yes, in my life, it was a ball below his feet. Out of a fairway bunker on 8, gets an insane roll, and manages to make an eagle putt. It was a guy playing fast and loose. I'm sure Smith would have done this if he was a PGA guy and he didn't have all the live money. That's not what I think allowed him to do it. That's just what you love about Smith, is that he can hit those shots. Not quite fully in the mix here. Definitely not out of it either, though. No. So I had to highlight that. Well, that was the best shot I've seen all week.
Well, he plays with his hair on fire. And it literally looks like it's on fire because it's such a glorious mullet. As a man who is trying to grow a mullet, and listen, I went out last night for a friend's birthday party, and there was like 25 people there, and it was a big night, and I was rocking the mullet. I got a lot of mullet compliments last night, so I think I'm going to stick with it. But good on mullet man, Colin Morikawa. It's not Colin Morikawa. I just looked at him. He was on the screen there for a second. Good on for Cam Smith, and that's how he plays. Remember at the Open – on the Saturday when he was like trying to hit it out of a gorse bush and it was like at his eye level instead of just taking the drop, he's like, I'll just whack this thing out of here. He plays a little bit crazy, and that's what happens. That's how you shoot a 60. What did he shoot on the Sunday to win? Like, he can, when you get hot and you're playing like that, it looks really good. So I'd like to see him get a little bit more into the mix, but I feel like there's maybe 4 or 5 guys that are in this, right? Like, I'm looking at the leaderboard now. It's Koepka, it's Rahm, Bennett, Morikawa, and Hovland. It's the first page. Like, how much further back of 6 shots are you going to go for the winner to come out of this thing? Koepka has to go out there and crap all over himself.
If you – there's not many guys from that group at kind of 5 that I would look at. I would say it's Easter Sunday's tomorrow. There's magic in the air. No one died when the trees fell yesterday. Spieth is at 5 under. If he comes out hair on fire today, that's the only guy I'm looking at. And if Gary Woodland gets to ask all his playing competitors what club they're hitting, he could make a pretty big run up the leaderboard too. Cam Young was a guy I had high hopes for, throwing himself in the mix once again, but I'm not expecting him.
He ended up just making a bogey at 13. And I always like just to, you know, compare, because it's just the average Joe that's listening to this show in terms of golf. That's what always makes me laugh about professional golfers, where it's like, oh boy, he's in big trouble here. Blocks his drive right, smashes one into the woods, got to take a drop, got to get it up and down from one side, bogey. It's like, for me, I'm just like, give me an ovie. We're moving on. Give me an ovie. Like, it's crazy how good these guys are at scrambling and getting it in the hole before they have to like blow up their whole scorecard. So good on them.
Just perusing the leaderboard a little further. We gave Koepka love for showing signs of life. We've given Tiger love for grinding to make the cut. How about Phil? 4 under.
Unbelievable.
Through 2 rounds. I am floored.
Shocking. Truly, truly shocking that's happened. I listen, he's been not very good, like, looking on the LIV tour. And for him, I guess, but here's the thing. Guys that play well at Augusta just play well at Augusta. It's just
forever.
It's a tale as old as time. Like
Freddie.
You know, we had Freddie making the cut at the oldest guy in the history to make the cut. Like, it's
looking
just what it is.
Looking at too. Yellow ball, hat, spikeless shoes. Love it.
Listen, that's a guy that you, if you're at your local club and you see him, don't play that guy
Run.
For money.
Run.
Do not play that guy for money. He's like, yeah, can you give me a couple of sad? He's like, you know, it's just like, and he goes out there and just takes you for all you're worth. Don't play a guy wearing spikeless shoes with a long putter and a yellow ball at your local club because you're going to lose all your money.
1,000%. Yeah, Mickelson, you know, it was funny. I was talking to a couple people just about all the stories that came out of the Champions dinner of him basically not saying a word the entire night. And I said to myself right there, he is shooting a billion over or winning the golf tournament. And the fact that he's at 4 under is kind of winning the golf tournament for him, given where he's been at. This is super niche. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see all the old guys from the Champions dinner complaining about how hot the soup was that Scottie Scheffler served? Did you see this?
Like hot as in?
Like spicy.
Like,
yeah, it was a spicy tortilla soup. And
I thought they were griping about soup being too hot. Just wait a minute. It'll cool down.
No. Like the spice levels. Sandy Lyle was quoted as saying he almost had to ask for some yogurt after taking a sip. All these old boys are quoted just dying. And then the best one was from Ian Woosnam, who said, I've been in the Caribbean for 4 months. I just thought it was soup. It was great. I don't know what all these guys are complaining about. Spieth said he thought Scheffler was trying to kill him. So it was just the most on-brand thing of all time that all the guys in that room.
Bunch of old white dudes.
Old white boys
soup.
Were just like, it is too damn spicy. Get Sandy Lyle some yogurt. So that has maybe been my favorite non-golf story of the week. I had to get it in. I think we're on to golf now, but man, I had to get that in. It's too good.
Misses for birdie on 14, so he stays at 10 under.
Okay, good update there. I've ran away from this long enough.
All right,
give it to me. Go ahead.
Listen, I don't even know where you want to start. I
just want to have a good cry, quite honestly.
How do you feel?
Not overly surprised.
Okay,
I think that this for a guy who was the betting favorite. Or co-betting favorite, or, you know, this has been a hobby horse debate among many people. There are books that had him as a favorite. There are books who had Scheffler's outright. He was up there, okay? And for this guy, he just has the, you know, John Rahm has this game where he can look lights out for 4 or 5 holes, have a bad hole, get it back, go lights out again. He can kind of fluctuate in and out of a round. Rory gets out running, or he doesn't. And he just never did. You know, there was the stat going around that he's had just one round in the 60s in Augusta in his last 8 rounds. It's absurd that a guy like this performs this poorly here. He clearly puts so much pressure on himself at this event. And I think that it's just one that's going to weigh on him. I honestly think if it was any other major that he had to have for the career Grand Slam and it wasn't coming back to the same place every single year, there's a chance he would do it, but he just hasn't been able to. And honestly, I'm crushed. I wish he would have performed better, but I thought there was a 30% chance this happened.
I would say that I think it's a pretty bad weekend for Rory from the
start. Of course.
But no, but like from the start, like from the start of the week until the end, to come in as like the defender of the PGA Tour, come in, tell him that he's best buds with Brooks and DJ, go out there, play like this as the betting favorite. I got to tell you, Gunnar, he's never going to win it. He's never going to win it. He puts way, way, way too much pressure on himself as our man Tiger Woods grinds out a par on the 16th hole to stay at +1 and inside the cut line. I just don't think he's ever going to be able to do it. Like, I have no, like, how does you put the blinders on for him to go into Thursday at Augusta and shoot a 68? Like, just put yourself in the mix. He's never in the mix until the Sunday, if he makes a cut, where he gets hot when it's meaningless. And he, you know, he backdoors the top 10 like he did last year. Backdoor, was he second, solo second last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. After shooting a 64 on Sunday, like, I really don't know what the answer is. And it's heartbreaking for a lot of golf fans. It's heartbreaking for golf media that this guy who is the golden, he's the golden child. He's the guy that everybody wants to win the most. The guy that everybody wants to win the most, especially here. It's the number one thing you ask. You polled a lot of golf fans and you said, what's the thing you want the most in golf? You know, you'd get a lot of votes for Rory Masters. That would be a very, very high on the list. And I just don't see it happening. I think he cares too much about this. This is his, you know, bugaboo. It's the number one thing that he wants on his mantle, and he just can't handle the pressure of it. He can't. It's very clear he cannot handle the pressure of it.
I think what it is that at other venues, you can forget where you are for 5 seconds. You know, you're at Belle Reve, or, you know, you're at one of these U.S. Open venues, you're Congressional, where he blasted the field, or whatever it is. You just go play golf, you're playing a golf tournament. There, I can only imagine that there's not a second that you're at Augusta that you forget where you are for even 1 second. And I just think you're right. It's clearly weighing on him. I don't look at it as a bad week for him, starting with the press conference stuff. I just put way less import on that than you do. But yeah, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat him shooting himself out of the tournament right away and not making the cut and then skipping town overnight while it was pouring rain. Like, I'm not going to sit here and defend that. It was an awful golfing weekend for him. I guess my question for you is, we saw him in the mix at majors last year. Like, where's your belief we could take Augusta out of the mix because we're not going to play it for a year, or he's not going to anyways. We're never going to get to play it. But how is your confidence for him in majors in general? Like, do you think he snaps the streak anytime soon? Do you see him getting one this year? Do you think he's in the mix, or do you think he just has some block and he can't get over anywhere, or is it just here?
I honestly think he could win every other major this year. Like, I think he came into Augusta in pretty good form. I know he missed the cut at the Players and the Masters.
Tough.
For the biggest star on tour is a really bad look.
Like, it's awful.
It's just, it's hard to not just immediately be like, the pressure ones he plays bad at. It's like the ones where there's a lot of expectations and a lot of people are rooting for him. He doesn't play well.
Okay, so. Not all that. Like, there was pressure at St. Andrews, and he finished second there. He made
He finished third.
Or he finished third because Cam Young eagled 18. Sorry, I forgot. But this, you can't say that he didn't play well when there's pressure. He played really, really well at St. Andrews. Cam Smith played
not
like
well
he
enough.
Was the best. Well, no, because Cam Smith was incredible. Okay, so do you think Rory lost the Open, or do you think Cam Smith won it?
Well, he makes one putt or two putts, he wins. So I think he kind of lost it.
I think Cam Smith went out and won it. The guy shot whatever it was, a 63 on
that's
Sunday.
That's a shocking opinion from you.
Yeah, I know it is. Okay. All right. We'll bring in the tiebreaker, my fellow Rory lover.
Oh, yeah. Let's bring in the other, you know, like, I'm basically going to the front of the Church of Rory and throwing
that's
up
right.
the two middle fingers. Like, the Church of Rory is in mourning. Like, this is a bad weekend for golf media. Like, if Brooks Koepka wins this damn thing, there's a lot of people got to be searching my name, Brooks Koepka, on Twitter and finding the delete button. Because I'm looking back over the last month even at some of the stuff I heard said about him. I saw he shot a 79 in some tournament where, like, on the DP Tour, and everyone just clowning all over him, making fun of him, talent, like, being like, he's legit done, blah, blah, blah. And now he's leading the Masters, their most precious event. Like, this is a scary. They need Rombo. The golf world needs Rombo.
See, I actually completely disagree on that. Like, I think it's awesome that Koepka's in the mix. I do. I don't. Okay. So
you
let's
want
say
him to win. If you had your pick, but
if I had my pick, I want John Rahm to win.
And all
I
the
like
guys
John.
Coming onto the final green, standing outside.
Honestly,
of,
let it happen. Prove how minor league you are. Prove how much of the hillbilly buck teeth tour that you are. Go, oh yeah, let's all slap jaw yokels on the 18th green.
Know how I picture it is, you know, they take him into Butler Cabin, and they got all the live guys out there, like in Night at the Roxbury, and they're holding up. They're like, we got to play some techno beats. We got to make them feel at home.
It's the Michael Scott from The Office with the speaker there. Yeah,
yes,
okay.
That's a hot meme right now on TikTok.
Very, very hot meme. didn't know I was on TikTok. I've just seen it with a lot of people with the Masters music. I saw that going around. Thoroughly enjoyed it on the old Graham.
I think Rory McIlroy would maybe even win multiple tournaments this year, but I just don't think he's ever going to get this one. In my heart of hearts, if you had to ask me, like, listen, we're watching this. We're looking at, you know, Cam Young. Look at this leaderboard. These guys aren't going anywhere.
Hot board.
No, like, but and the guys that are above him, like, they're all going to be there the entire time he's there, right? Like, and the pressure on him, I would make a lifetime bet with anyone that he doesn't get it. I would.
Now I just want to call Russick with Inside the Lines and what would the number
lifetime
be on
bet?
That? I just want to know. I just want to know what the number would
the
be
number?
On that.
That Rory wins the Master at some point in his life?
Well, because you're saying he won't.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to know what the number is on
I think
that.
It would be a favorite.
Yeah,
like a minus 110 favorite that he would never win it.
Okay. That's actually, man, I'm way more
invested
than that.
Like, what is he ever, he doesn't, outside of last year, he's not really in the mix.
His game is, it just is confounding because his game is perfect for the place. Like, he hits beautiful high irons that can stop on a dime. I know it's all in the head.
Between the ears, Bubba. All right, let's break so we can get to Stanley on the ground.
All right. Chief golf guys content and merch beast Adam Stanley joins us next on the ground from Augusta. Hot tree talk coming up next. It's the Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Golf Show. Brent Gunning and Sam McKee basking, watching in us. It's not often you can watch the Masters and be like, you know what? I got better weather. I do. I have better weather here. I can see the sun. It's peeking out. I'm not saying it's going to be warmer or nicer, but at least it's not rainy and gloomy like it is in Augusta. It looks cold.
Two quick things before we track down Stanley, who maybe is in the water somewhere at Augusta. Maybe he fell in Rays Creek. Is it Rays Creek, right?
He raised the level like Spieth did.
Buddy, what a line.
And was that Colton Ose? Had to be.
No, it was Immelman.
Oh, wow. That's a little spicy from him, I got to say.
He's like, oh, yes, back in 2016 where he helped raise the level of the creek. I was like, oh, my God, that's savage. I am very happy to report that you have two tee times this week, Gunner. I have a tee time at Humber Valley. On Tuesday morning at 6:40 a.m.
You didn't go after the colossal downpour where you would have needed your fins and your scuba. That you needed the scuba mask I had in our social distancing golf vids is what you needed.
I love golf, but it was a torrential downpour for many hours. Oh my Lord, what a shot by John Rahm, who now has about 2.5 feet for birdie to get to 11 under to get one back of Brooks Koepka.
Come on,
this guy
Rombo.
Looks dialed. This guy looks really dialed. Listen, we talked about this. Every guy gets one of these. You know, it's at that time with Rahm where, well, every guy except Rory, of course. But, you know, every great guy gets one, at least one. And this feels like the start for him to get a couple. Because you think about how many did Phil end up having? Is it four or three?
Three, I think.
It was late when he got his first one.
It's like in his 40s.
So you really have a chance here for Rahm to, final pairing of Rahm Koepka is incredibly good. Like that is, you know, your boy Rory couldn't defend the honor of the PGA. So now they got to send out Rahm to do Rory's, you know, his heavy lifting. But so we got a tee time at one of our favorites, Burlington Springs. Was it 7:20 on Wednesday? And I'm going out Tuesday. It's supposed to be gorgeous weather in the city of Toronto this week. I'm looking at over 15 degrees multiple days next week. So, you know, the weather will be fantastic. The shorts will be, you know,
I was just going to say, shorts out?
We'll see. Yeah. It's early. Like, if I'm playing
don't
at 6:40.
Summer to wear shorts. You don't. This isn't like the end of the year where you're like, no, I could shorts it one more day. No. You got a whole summer of shorts ahead of you. Show off those beautiful legs, but keep them hidden for now, McKee.
In Arizona, I had some pictures of me, like, you know, like the classic behind me shot.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'm like, of like a par three. I was like, God, those stems are looking white.
Like, woo, pasty.
Buddy, I'm translucent. Like, I'm like, I got to get some sun on those bad boys. But I was wearing SPF 50 the whole time. So I didn't get a lot of color. Let's just say that.
SPF 50 is a must. For a couple of pasty guys here, there's no way it's going to be anything other than that. One thing we didn't talk about that you were kind of banging the drum on this heading into it was you didn't like the added distance that we've seen to the course here. And, you know, part of this is because of the weather. It's played a lot softer. It hasn't been as fiery. So guys have been able to go for it a bit. Do you feel any differently than you did at the start of the week about the added distance? Do you think with the wetness, it's hard to get a read on it? Where are you at on that?
I think it's, I feel like an idiot for sure. Right?
I wasn't going to say it.
Like,
okay.
No, it's fine. Like, call me an idiot. Like, I am an idiot. So I don't mind. But like, I just, you know, whining about the course being harder and then having the lowest 36 hole score, third lowest 36 hole score in the history of the tournament, it's a bit of a tough look for your boy. Like, hey, I've always said this in anything that I love. I'm being right. I'd much rather be wrong and enjoy something than be right. Like with the Leafs, for example. Do I think they're going to get past the first round? But guess what? I'd rather have the Leafs get past the first round than be right. So I'm really happy to see it playing like this. I think the teeth are going to come out a little bit this weekend with the weather. Like, it obviously doesn't look like the conditions are that favorable. A little softer for sure. But the breeze is kicked up. You're playing in the pouring rain. Like, playing in the rain sucks. You know, you're – Oh, we have Adam.
We have pulled him in from the beautiful or potentially cold and rainy Augusta National. This Masters Report is brought to you by TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. Adam Stanley, golf content beast and golf guys, chief merch getter. Adam Stanley joins us now. Stanley, how you doing, bud?
Guys, what's going on? I'm sorry I'm late. I was just talking to Mackenzie. He just finished up his round, of course, exactly around this 9:30 time. But, just back inside now. And let me tell you, it is not nice out here at Augusta National this morning.
Yeah, talking to Mac, greater than talking to the golf guys. So no problem. No problem there. Go pay your bills. So, yeah, happy to have
you
on.
How did Mac finish up?
Yeah, thanks. Give us that update.
So he made a bogey on 18, but he's going to make the cut. He's going to be the only Canadian to make the cut. Made bogey from the middle of the fairway on 14. He wasn't very happy about that. Made a nice birdie on 15. Had a chance for a birdie on 16. Missed that one. 17, really slick up and down for par. And then 18, he was in that front bunker and probably hit his bunker shot maybe a yard or two too short. Ended up missing the par attempt there. And ended up with a bogey, but yeah, shot 69 and just said, you know, basically every single round that he's played at Augusta National has either been over par or around par. So for him to get, you know, a couple in the red from yesterday and into this morning, he feels really good. Obviously he's, you know, pretty far back of the lead as it stands right now. But, you know, if there's anyone who's going to be comfortable with April conditions like this, it's, you know, someone from Southwestern Ontario. And he said, hey, you know, it's going to be bad. If a three or four under, if I post another 4 under par score, say, this afternoon, he's like, you know what, I might be in the mix heading into Sunday. And that's kind of what success looks like for him now.
Yeah, go make yourself some money, Mac, at this point. You know, like, you made the cut.
Yeah.
Time to get hot.
Exactly.
So I got to tell you, you texted the group on Monday. We were talking about doing the show. Maybe it was Monday or Tuesday. And I was like, you know, Adam Stanley's down there. I've been dying for a Masters rope hat. I'm going to ask him to get me one. I asked and I was like, oh, it's not that hard to ask. And then I saw like four articles about how the Masters merch tent is like a war zone in terms of like how busy it is. I was like, I just sent our sweet boy Adam Stanley into the goddamn
Thunderdome,
the Viper pit to go get us
into
a rope
hat.
And he comes out with two of the most gorgeous hats I've ever seen. I just have to thank you very much for that. I'm going to send you a little tip too.
I'm just glad you guys didn't ask me to get a garden gnome, because that would have been a true scene. Like, those things are just flying off the shelf, and they're so inefficient because like the bags that you get leaving the merch tent are like not built for like the garden gnome box. So everyone's like trotting around Augusta National with like gnomes under their arms, or like some of them over their heads, like an 80s boombox. Like nobody knows how to carry the garden gnomes. So that part has been kind of pretty funny to like bear witness to this week. But I will say, the only reason why Augusta National's merch area is so efficient is because apparently a couple years ago they hired the dude who used to run concessions or merchandise at Disney World, and now he runs it here. So if there's anyone on the planet that would know how to make stuff that's for sale and make that experience efficient, it would be the guy who used to run it for Disney World. So of course they would.
Hell of a hire
at Augusta National.
Good hire by Augusta National. That's a good. That's a really good hire. Is
great,
it true that you
great,
could?
Great
you
headhunting firm.
Can you get stuff shipped when you buy it? I know this is way inside, but I'm fascinated by the merch tent. Like I would spend my life savings at the merch tent. So is it true that they'll ship it for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is something that happened a couple years ago. The short answer is yes. The long answer is there's two lines. There's a line to enter, and then as soon as you exit, there's a line to like get out onto the golf course, and then there's a line to veer to the left, which goes to like shipping and packaging. So yeah, people basically just go to the merch tent. Well, it's not even a tent, it's a pavilion. Pavilion, yes. Of course. You go there, you buy all your stuff, and then you veer off, and then you get it packed up by UPS and sent home, and life goes on. It's pretty nice.
Love it.
Pavilion doesn't sound fancy enough. We got to workshop another name. Like it plays off patrons, I get, but we need something just a touch fancier. So we'll brainstorm that and get right back to you. I know you have a lot of pull around there. I do want to talk about the high end of the leaderboard, but you know we have to talk about our boy here. What happened to our sweet boy Rory McIlroy? Is it just the ghost of Augusta that got him? What'd you make of his week, Stanley?
That kind of seems to be the overarching thought about Rory McIlroy, is that there's just like something about like this place that gets in his head like really, really badly. Like over the last number of years, he's tried so many different variations of like preparatory efforts to get ready for Augusta. You know, obviously a bunch of years ago when he had the lead and then he didn't, you know, it just was like, oh, it's a one-off. He's going to win this one for sure. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years and this time around, you know, he did kind of a bunch of different work. He switched out his putter to an old one. He came up here a couple times and he was having so much fun. And he was joking in the media center on Tuesday about, you know, how many times he's done this and everyone wants me to win and ha ha ha, wouldn't it be great? And then like he goes out and totally lays an egg. So yeah, I mean, at this point, you ask anyone else, literally any other golfer in the media center through the first 3 days of this golf tournament, and they're all like, yeah, Rory's got the shots. Rory knows what to do. Rory's going to win this tournament eventually, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then he goes out and absolutely, you know, plays so, so poorly. So, you know, to your question specifically, this has got to be a mental thing for Rory. And, you know, if he's going to get over this hurdle, he's got to do it soon. Because unfortunately, I think he's starting to run out of chances. It's not like it's going to get any easier for him to win around here over the next couple of years.
So what's the sort of scuttlebutt about Koepka down there? Like, what are the people talking about with this comeback and looking like four-time major championship Koepka, because I've just been blown away watching it. Like, I wouldn't say that I completely wrote him off, but I gotta be honest with you, Adam, I never expected it to look like it's looked through 36 at Augusta so far.
No way. And I don't think that you're alone in that assumption. And I think, you know, a big part of it is for 2 years, so 2017 to 2019, we couldn't miss Brooks Koepka, and Brooks Koepka himself couldn't miss. I mean, you win four majors in 2 years, that's all-time status. You know, the next person that you're chasing on the list is, you know, Arnold Palmer, right? Like, these are all-time historical great stretches of golf. And then from 2019 to 2022, call it, we didn't see him at all. He had a bunch of, let's call it, lower body injuries, if we're going to borrow some hockey parlance there. And, you know, he really, really, really struggled. And then, you know, at the end of last year, he jumped over to LIV. Now, yesterday, fascinatingly enough, he said had he been 100% healthy, his decision to go to LIV probably would have been a lot more difficult, which we all found pretty interesting. He's not really this rah-rah LIV guy. You know, he was short with a reporter who asked him, hey, where's your smash GC stuff? And he's like, well, I'm sponsored by Nike too. And then he just kind of stopped talking. So I don't think anyone really saw this coming from Brooks Koepka, because for the last 3 years, he has been super injured. He's barely played and he's played super poorly. And then he made a jump to the hit and giggle circuit, and he's been playing 54-hole exhibitions the last 6 months, and no one really watches those anyway. So the fact that he came in this week off the win in Orlando on the LIV Tour, you know, kind of prompted a few people to have a think about, you know, how Brooks Koepka and his form, if he was 100% healthy. That was the big question. And then he goes out and shoots 65 or whatever it is in the first round, and you're like, oh, major championship Brooks is back. So it's been an impressive performance from him over 36 holes for sure. And I will say quickly, he got the luck of the draw as well.
With the, he 100% did. You know, he's got his feet up having cocktails ever since yesterday when he was finished up. Like, it's the perfect timing for him. So
at like 2:30 in the afternoon. I know.
I know. So here's the thing that jumped out to me. We talked about this in our first block, Stanley, is that the LIV Tour could not have got this guy at a more perfect time. Because listen, you know how much golf is a mental game, and at the professional level, it's times 1,000. And, you know, we all watched the Netflix Full Swing, which was such a fascinating look inside. This guy thought he was done. Like, he couldn't make an 8-footer. Like, they were talking about, you know, how broken he was, how far in his head Scottie Scheffler was. Like, they couldn't have caught him at the more perfect time.
Yeah, and especially now, like, let's say hypothetically he wins this green jacket this week, you know, then he's exempt in all the majors, you know, beyond the other two that he won, you know, for life. And you know, now he probably doesn't really care about literally anything. He just wants to try to go win the British Open and complete the career Grand Slam and ride off into the sunset. So, Sam, I would say you're 100% right. They nabbed him, they got him, and then, you know, Brooks kind of came out and still played the majors, and he's still going to have the opportunity to play the majors moving forward. And, you know, if he's got all these big trophies in his trophy case, and he's got buckets of money, and, you know, he can just kind of go out and play golf when he wants, like, yeah, it's a good time for Liv to have nailed a guy like Brooks Koepka. Although I will say, you know, I think he's kind of realizing that, you know, he would rather beat the best than kind of beat the guys who he's beating on the LIV Tour and still have that competitive juice flowing through him a little bit more. And that's probably something that he's going to miss moving forward. I mean, he sought out Rory to play a practice round with him on Tuesday. You know, again, he's not really rah-rah about, you know, his team, his LIV team. And, you know, like I said, he admitted that if he was healthy, it would have been a more difficult decision. So, it's good for Liv to have someone like Brooks, but I don't think Brooks really cares about Liv, to be honest.
I don't know if Brooks cares about anything.
Well, I was going to say, Brooks has the aura around him of, like, when you complain to a cashier about something and they're like, look, I just work here, okay? Don't bring this to me. I just work here, okay? And that's kind of does feel like he... how he handles Liv there. You know, just looking at the board here, obviously Rahm is hot on his heels, just one shot back now. Bennett's at 8-under. You got Cam Young at 7-under. And then you got a bunch of guys in that kind of 6-5 range. Can somebody in that 6-5 range make a run? Do they need Koepka to come back? I mean, you look at Spieth at a 5-under. Jason Day was a hot name coming into this. Morikawa's at 6. Do you think any of those guys can kind of force themselves really into the mix? Or are we already kind of looking at a 2-horse race?
Yeah, two good questions there. I think that the answer to the first one is Brooks is going to have to come back a little bit in order for someone at 5 or 6 to truly make a run. Like, today's conditions are just not going to be all that scoreable. So, you know, let's say Brooks shoots 1-under par today, somehow, some way, grinds it out, gets to 13. Now we're talking about guys who are 7 shots back of Brooks Koepka if they're at 6-under. So, you know, Colin Morikawa is kind of a name that sticks out for me. The guy just hits lasers everywhere, and I think, you know, given the conditions around here, he may be someone whose ball flight isn't all that impacted by the poor weather. So I wouldn't be surprised maybe if he shoots another 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Jason Day, like you said, coming in good form, but, you know, his body probably won't hold up to a long day of golf. Jordan Spieth, certainly someone who could put the pedal down and shoot, you know, 66 this afternoon out of nowhere, but could also maybe shoot 76, and we wouldn't be all that surprised either.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously this is the Masters. There's a ton of question marks about the guys. There's a ton of question marks about the weather. You know, Saturday, it's not always built for scoring. That's usually like the Sunday day, so then we get those back 9 fireworks. So that combined with the weather, you know, I don't think we're going to see all that many birdies this afternoon, but Koepka's going to have to come back and someone's going to have to put up at least a, you know, 69, 68 from the chasing pack in order to make a run into tomorrow's finale.
So we covered the pro, we covered the gift shop, the pavilion, we covered all the golf. Now I got to ask you to put on your arborist hat, Adam Stanley. Where were you when the tree fell? Were you near the tree? Did you hear the tree? That was wild, man.
It was crazy. Yeah. So we knew that the play was going to be called, and I was going to go. Mm-hmm. I was going to go follow Mackenzie Hughes, but Mackenzie at the time was at the farthest point in the golf course, away from the media center. So I was like, "There's no point in me going out there." Of course, I missed the tree falling. But Mackenzie Hughes' caddy Jace told me last night that they were on 14. They heard it, and they thought that it was a grandstand falling down. So you can imagine how loud it must have been if they thought that a grandstand had fallen over. Now, I will say this morning, when I was following back, I walked over 17T and I took a look. I thought, to be honest, I thought they were just going to, like, import another tree and stick one there and we'd be done with it. But no, I don't think from their, like, secret stash of trees. But I don't think they had enough time last night. So what they did do is, yeah, I mean, they fully ripped up, like, the roots of the remnants of the tree. The three trees that had fallen, there's, like, crushed green stone on top of where they used to be, and kind of like 10 by 10 roped off areas where they were. But yeah, everyone was kind of standing around and kind of looking up. And yeah, if you come to the Masters now, it's going to be like, oh, this is where Tiger hit his chip on 16. And oh, this is where Bubba hit his slinging wedge on 10. And oh, this is where the trees fell on 17 tee. It's another spot for those at Augusta National.
It's an absolute miracle no one was hurt, man. You see that video of the person that was between 100%. The two trees?
Yeah, it was it's truly shocking that nobody got hurt. It's crazy. It just so happened to be that no one was on the tee, like no players were on the tee, so there wasn't all that much like of a buzz kind of around there. And the fact that the trees basically fell in slow motion, you know, allowed everyone to, you know, kind of move out of the way as well. It was miracle is a good word to use for sure.
Well, and we shouldn't be surprised because just good things happen at Augusta unless you're Rory McIlroy or Meech here. So there you go. Adam, thanks so much for jumping on with us. We're thrilled to be talking to you so much this year, and enjoy the rest of the week and keep pumping those great stories on sportsnet.ca.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, this was fun, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
There he goes, Adam Stanley, this Masters Report brought to you by TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. Let me just give a quick little plug. We did this last week, but honestly, if you haven't got out there, get out there.
The best.
Great, great tracks. Awesome, awesome feel, awesome vibe, really relaxed, different looks. So yeah, if you haven't checked it out, please do so.
Got some bat. Tiger, Doc Hook into the cabbage on 18, punched it out, and now he's got about a 35 footer up the hill to make the cut.
Tough.
There's Mark. The goalposts have moved on Tiger Magic. This is now what Tiger Magic is. If he makes this, be a miracle. I just feel so
Can
bad.
You
for
imagine,
the guy. He just
looked,
the man looks miserable.
He does.
He's like, he looks like the, you know, I'm too old for this is his face the entire morning. It's pouring rain. Go ahead.
He looks like golf show legend Scott Metcalf when we played a cold, rainy day with him is what he looks like out there. Just not happy. Not happy.
He's like, it is miserable out here. He looked at me and we're in the same car.
Because it was. Yeah.
I feel bad for him. You know, like this isn't – it's just not favorable. Like if it had stayed humid and warm and he's going into that round yesterday, he probably makes the cut. But having to get up – you know, what time did he get up this morning? 1 a.m.?
It's like he went to bed right after he got a tranquilizer dart in the neck the second his round ended so he could get to sleep and then woke up 7 hours after that.
Yeah, so it's not heading in the right direction for our man, which is tough to see, but still a great performance for him to come in here and shoot, you know, plus two, plus three, or whatever he's going to end up at. It's a hell of a performance.
So a couple other interesting guys kind of flirting with the cut line. JT is there. Our boy Sung J.M. right on the line right now as well. So they
surprises
me.
Work.
Really does. I had pretty high hopes for him coming into the week, not to win, but you know, a top 20, top 10, something along those lines. Quickly before we get out of here, Scottie Scheffler. This was the hottest man on the planet, and he played fine. He's at 1 under, you know, completely out of the mix, but did not embarrass himself. I think this is just my. I feel like I am the king of pouring cold water on things, unless it's Rory related. It's just really hard to be an elite golfer for more than 3 or 4 weeks at a time. And Scheffler's been an awesome player, but he is just one of the awesome players. This isn't the beginning of a, you know, a 6 or 7 major run that we're going to see out of him. He's a really nice player. He's probably going to win a couple more majors, probably going to win another green jacket. But it's just a little reminder for all of us that it's so hard to be consistently great in this game.
Oh, and Rahm just misses a par putt. So he's back to 10. I feel that if you're the worst putter in the field, you're probably not going to win the golf tournament. Like, yeah, he is striping it. He is on fire with his, you know, his tee to green stuff. I think he's like maybe second or third. Like, mm-hmm, he's right up there. And his strokes game putting, he is the worst in the, like, you ain't going to win much doing that. So his putter has let him down big time, and putting is hard. So yeah, he'll be back in the mix, but yeah.
One under, the worst he could have shot. Just couldn't make any putts out there. He just couldn't make any putts. It's been a fun week on the Golf Show. Sammy and me, we'll be back with a Masters recap. We'll get that out sometime on Monday. And then we're back next week looking at whatever tournament's next week. I'm locked into the Masters right now. It's the Golf Show with the Golf Guys. Thanks so much to Brendeo for keeping us on air. Get it wherever you get your pods. It's been the Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.